Come thou bright and morning star, light of light without beginning, shine upon us from afar, that we may be kept from sinning. Drive away by thy clear light our dark night. Let thy grace like morning dew, falling soft on barren places, comfort quick. Bless thy flock from thy rich store evermore. May thy fervent love destroy our cold works in us awaking, ardent zeal and holy joy at the truly rise ere yet life has set. Ah, thou day spring from on high, grant that at thy next appearing, we who in the graves do lie may arise thy son. Light us to those heavenly spheres, Son of grace in glory shrouded. Lead us through this veil of tears to the land where day's unclouded, purest joy and a perfect peace never cease.
The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness.
For you have exalted above all things your name and your word.
On the day I called, you answered me.
My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord.
For they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly.
But the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me.
Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are his. This is the of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. Alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord,
keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith,
that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And he called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go. And say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lay waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste. And the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul wrote, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments, such as the flute or the harp, do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and a speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret.
For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. In the law it is written, by people of strange tongues and by the lips of foreigners will I speak to this people. And even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Thus, tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If, therefore, the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only 2 or at three, most 3, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church and speak to himself and to God. Let 2 or 3 prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, so women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand and sing the Alleluia and verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 2nd chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw 2 boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Faith and truth and life bestowing, open now the scriptures, Lord. Seed to life eternal sowing, scattered on the wind abroad. Let not hearts your word receiving like a barren field be found, choked with thorns and unbelieving, shallow earth or stony. May the Spirit's power unceasing bring to life the hidden grain. Daily in our hearts increasing, bearing fruit that shall remain. So in a scripture, song, and story, Savior, may your voice be
text for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians 14, and it's a long chapter with a lot of important teachings throughout it. But for our focus of the sermon, we focus on those verses 17, 18, and 19, the ones you notice there were some underlined, those. And I read those from 1 Corinthians 14. Verses 17, 18, and 19. For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you want to look at the sermon notes, you can see that it's important for us to remember that we're the context of this chapter 14. And this chapters 12, 13, and 14 are really a unit, are one unit. And Paul, when they ask in the beginning in chapter 12, verse 1, they wrote him and said, ask him some questions about the spiritual things. And the first thing that Paul points out, which I did in my sermon 3 weeks ago, the first thing that points out is that the Holy Spirit's first work, his primary work, is to build up faith in Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing. If you're going to talk about spiritual gifts, it's faith in Christ, so that the person can say, Jesus is Lord. That's the number one thing. The term spiritual gifts is used in the Greek, or spiritual things, but Paul changes it and uses that term, but also adds the term grace gifts. These are gifts of God to his people, to his church, out of his grace, his mercy, his love for them. And the whole purpose of these is to build up the church. That's the number one purpose. What was happening in Corinth is we're saying, well, I have tongues. Well, I prophesy. Well, I do miracles. Well, I this. Well, I that. No, it's not to build up the person against others or that I'm better than others, but to build up the whole church, to serve one another. As he concluded in teaching that in chapter 12, then he moves into chapter 13, what's often called that chapter of love, which you heard preaching on that last week. And Paul says, this is the most excellent way. In fact, this is the way that lasts forever, into eternity, is love. So that if you have the Spirit, show gift, you have the gift of tongues, but not love, is nothing. If you have faith to move mountains, he says, but no love, is nothing. That love, that self-sacrificing love, the perfect of which was Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, that self-sacrificing love does it for the other person, the other. And Paul, he defines that love, and he shows examples of it, and he explains it so thoroughly in chapter 13. Then, chapter 14. The Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, there was a confusion. They were thinking that the Holy Spirit would make them holy or better than each other, and there was a competition of sorts. And Paul is showing that that's not the Holy Spirit's work, but to bring faith in Christ, to say Jesus is Lord, and to bring edification to the church. And all this is grounded in love. And he begins chapter 14, this next section, when he says, and I have, it's right there, he says, pursue love and the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love and the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He is saying, okay, now I'm going to go back to your problems in worship. And the thing that I want you to really think about most first is love. And then pursue these spiritual gifts that you Corinthians are concerned about and the Holy Spirit's giving you, especially that you may prophesy. This term prophesy in Corinthians and in many places in the New Testament is not something that is separate or distinct from the Old Testament teachings or from the teachings of Jesus. To prophesy was to also reflect on and build upon what was God has already said. He says later, point C, I'm jumping around a little bit, Paul, what he commends is revelation and knowledge, prophecy, and teaching and worship. Everything that would instruct or that would edify, these things Paul encouraged in worship. So when we sing our hymns and they teach us something or they reassure us of something or they open our eyes to something, this is edification. This is building up the church. When almost every Sunday we have an introit of a psalm from Scripture, that builds us up. And oftentimes, I say the psalm with you in responsive reading, I'm saying, wow, that was good. I should be preaching on that instead of what I plan. Because the psalms are these hymns of God, these divinely inspired hymns of God that the Old Testament people wrote. And they build us up and teach us about God. Or when we say our prayers, we pray for others. We pray for ourselves, yes, but we pray for others, and we pray for our land. We build and edify and encourage us one another with our prayers to God. All these things together are giving instruction and encouragement and are clear. It's interesting because the term, I guess it doesn't really translate very well into the English. He says, if what you say in a tongue is not understood by others, he says, then you're speaking to the air. And isn't that a funny way of thinking about it and saying it? It's actually literally, it's your air speaking. If we do things in worship and it's not understandable or it doesn't build up, it's not encouraging, who's it benefiting? It's just going out here somewhere. But rather, what we do in worship encourages and builds up. Everything that we do in worship is based on the Word of God. I may make a mistake or say something poorly in the sermon, and you, together, we may get drawn off thinking about something else outside of the Word of God in church. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. But the Word of God is the foundation on which we are building. And when we are wrong, we're drawn to our mistake, drawn to our sin, and Scripture shows it to us, and we repent. And that Word of God is the foundation on which our worship is built. We know we can trust it. And Paul, it's interesting too, he has this strong focus in several of those verses that we read about what will the outsider, the non-Christian, the unbeliever think. If it's just chaotic, if what is done doesn't have meaning or it isn't understandable, he says, they'll say you're out of your mind. So that is also important for us, is when an unbeliever or an outsider or a visitor sees us, they know what's going on. They know who we are worshiping. They know what we are praying for. It is clear. And they will say, okay, I don't know if I believe or not, but I understand what they're saying. I understand what's going on. This is very, very important. Paul did not say, do not have tongues. And there's differences of opinion. It depends kind of in what denomination you are, but the commentators are not sure. Is this a tongues of understandable, of angels and not a human language, or is it a human language like Pentecost? You can kind of sometimes debate that back and forth. But Paul says it really doesn't matter because there has to be interpretation, it has to be understood. So if I would start preaching in Russian, but none of you understand Russian, what good is that? It's a human language. It would help somebody, but it doesn't help the people here. What builds up the church is what is important. I have in the heading there, what I do in 2.2, what I do in worship is not about me, but about God and others. Worship helps you and me. It does. But even in our worship, what is so important is that we see that the others are edified and that God is praised. And so we look for to benefit the whole body of Christ. Even though we're different from one another, we have different opinions, we have different likes and dislikes, yet we want the whole body, the whole family of God to be built up. And that's what's important. He says there in verse 17, for you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. The beauty of our singing or the beauty of our thanksgiving might be good and glorious to God and might be benefiting us to a certain extent. But Paul says, but what's important is that the others are also built up. So this is something always in our minds, to serve one another, to rejoice with one another, to encourage one another as we gather together in the name of Jesus. The Word of God is the center and foundation of our Christian worship. I have the verse right there on the bottom part of that page. A direct quote from Paul. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Paul wants to drive home this teaching that what we want to do is grow in the Lord and grow in the Lord with our mind and spirit together, and we want to benefit each other. And I take these words, we have to take these words literally. He said it. 5 words. If you understand, Jesus loves you. That is more beneficial than 10,000, 20,000 words, I would say, in Russian. Jesus forgives you. That is precious and holy. And all of us can say those 5 words. Not only here in church, but outside of church time. And we can tell the person who's hurting because of sin, Jesus forgives you. We can tell the person who is ill, Jesus loves you. Pray to Jesus. 5-word sentence. Think of the 5-word sentences you can say to encourage. That, Paul says, is more important than 10,000 words that have no meaning, that don't give instruction. So as the Lord Jesus gathers us together, he calls us to be encouraged by him, but also to be encouragement to one another. And you know what? This congregation does that. You do it a lot. And as I was able to preach to the pastors the Tuesday that we're gathered here, I'm used to preaching to the choir, but today I get to preach to the pastors. You all are the choir. You all show, I have seen from all of you, the love and encouragement for God's people, for one another. But there are temptations that the Corinthians fell into and we fall into too. There are temptations to think about myself first, to not think about the others. And these teachings from 1 Corinthians, they show us that what undergirds everything, and to be reminded over and over again, is this love for one another, so that everything that we do will build up and will strengthen and will honor God. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the love you have shown us in Christ and that we are able to share with one another daily, weekly, yearly, and into the decades. And we give you thanks that you have given us your word and your love, and we are able to share that with one another, even for generations. And yet we are sinners, Lord, and we fail this day and another day. And we ask you to forgive us, and we ask you to build us up. Build us up with your word, your truth, your love and forgiveness. All these things, Heavenly Father, we bring to you in the name and thankful for all that Jesus has done for us. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the Nicene Creed. We stand and confess our faith with the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in the holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
You may be seated. We sing the hymn that's printed in the bulletin. The last verse, the offering may be brought forward.
I know my faith is founded on Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, and this my faith confessing, unmoved I stand on his sure word. Our reason cannot fathom the truth of God profound, who trusts in human wisdom, relies on shifting ground. God's word is all sufficient, it makes divinely sure, and trusting in its wisdom, my faith shall rest secure. Increase my faith, dear Savior, for Satan seeks by night and day to rob me of this treasure and take my hope of bliss away. But Lord, with you beside me, I shall be undismayed, and led by your good Spirit, I shall be seek to overwhelm me. Let me a steadfast trust retain, and then at my departure, Lord, take me home to you. Your riches to
congregation is invited to stand for the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church. printed in the bulletin. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God of hosts, build up your church and manifest your Spirit among us with wisdom and knowledge. Let our words be measured and intelligible to our fellow Christians and to those outside your church, that we may utter our amens in Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sustain those called to be fishers of men in Christ's church, that they would not be discouraged when they toil all night and take nothing, but continue to let down their nets at his word according to that calling. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may be mature in our thinking and infants in evil. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all Christian homes, that your word would be sown and produce much fruit. Grant your wisdom to all fathers and mothers to care for their children well. Please give health and protection to all mothers with child. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us faith to let down the nets of your word in our daily vocations and trust your Son to do his gracious word through poor sinners like us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, be not far from us. As you have worked deeds of salvation in Christ Jesus, so make haste to help us now in every trouble. Give healing to the sick, strength to the weak, comfort to the afflicted. We remember Margaret and Charlotte, Loretta, Carlin, Bill, Jason, Gary, Bryston, Keith, Brad, Don, Denny, Ruby, James, Violet, Joe, Kim, Darlene, Andrew, Tasha, Mary Ellen, Lynn, Pastor Nierman, Pastor Scheibe, and Pastor Berlin. Do not forsake us, nor the generations to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send from your altar, O Lord, the body and blood of Christ. Cleanse us in our lips by this blessed sacrament, delivering the atonement of Christ one has won for us, that we may be worthy to stand before you now and at the last day. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, never depart from us. Though we are unworthy of you and your bounty, you are pleased to receive our meager thanks and reluctant obedience for the sake of Christ's perfect obedience.
Let your word rule us and your spirit revive us to leave behind pride and anxiety alike. That we may follow you in all we do, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things that are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. We pray our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Grant us peace.
The congregation stand for the general dismissal. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who seek the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Invited to stand or sit for our closing hymn, Fight the Good Fight.
Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength, and Christ your right. Lay hold on life, and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and seek his face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on your God. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust and enduring faith shall prove Christ is your life and Christ your love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changes not who holds you dear. Only believe and you will see that Christ is all eternal.